so I gotta walk. Got the chalk, about to draw outlines for these ladies I'm about to slay. Got my cape on with some napalm. Shot your days gone, then the game's on. What you play, huh? Hard to get. I'll be wet for all that dry hate. Looking my way while your eyes say you and I may get off like a right lane, but I might strain. Pull up lane with a migraine. I'm a wrench to that ratchet bitch, a bench for that acid offense. With a ladder, get up, phony. I said a wrench to that ratchet bitch, a bench for that acid offense. With a ladder, get up, phony. Hello, miss, like, what's your name? Such a shame you don't drink. Who's to blame? Cause I'm fine like I'm Cosby in the lobby of an AA meeting on a payday. We can make it rain even on a sunny day. What you say? You and I could run away. Meet up when you drop that molly off. Love that chick a Molotov while she's on the side, hating faded lane on the pavement, wasting all of my patience.
Come on, you gotta go.
Go ahead, put your best out. You gotta get up, beg, but I'll ask now. Come on and get up, beg, throw my hands out. You gotta get up, step, gotta make down. Motherfucker, get up. Go ahead, put your best out. You gotta get up, beg, but I'll ask now. Come on and get up, beg, throw my hands out. You gotta get up, step, gotta make down. Why don't you get up?
Yo, Whiskey Sick Podcast, all up in your motherfucking ass. I be your boy, Seth Gecko, a.k.a. Moody Hank. And that's it. I'm rolling solo again, man. Rolling dolo, holding the fort down. If y'all remember, last week we had Whiskey in the house, and he gave me a whole bunch of shit about not being able to do the podcast, this, that, and all this other nonsense, bullshit, whatever. I called him out, told him he was full of shit, and here we are again. So, show must go on, as always. Always keep it rolling. We got a lot of shit to talk about. A lot of fight talk. Your boy went 5-2 last night. Missed that main event again. So that's two main events in a row I missed. And the only reason I missed this one, I started feeling myself a little too much. And I wanted to be different from Whiskey. So I took Daniel Cormier. We'll get into that. Not a very smart pick. But he was looking good for a little while. We got the Broner Garcia fight. Talk about that shit. Just all UFC 214. I had some on-spot predictions, motherfuckers. Overall, I went 5-2. If it wasn't for Jimmy Manoa not showing up, might have been 6-1. Took a couple leaps, but decent enough. So we're gonna get into this shit. I didn't talk about this first fight. Our boy. Who the fuck was it? Hold on a minute. Brian Ortega. That's right. Brian Ortega, he fought Renato Moicano. This dude was a bad motherfucker. Never really heard of him. Then I kind of remembered halfway through, he's a dude that beat little heathen Jeremy Stevens. Vaguely remember that fight. But if you beat Jeremy Stevens, you're somewhat of a monster. And he fought a guy, Brian Ortega, who's a black belt under Henner Gracie. Bad motherfucker. He did a cool podcast on I think it was on Fighter and the Kid with Brendan Schaub. That was a sick-ass podcast. Really got to know that dude a little bit. Dude's just grown up fighting his whole fucking life. Getting into trouble, getting kicked out of like 100 schools. He's from like the Anaheim, LA-ish kind of area. Basically, he was born to fight, and here he is. I think he's undefeated. What's his record at? I know he's undefeated. I don't know how many wins he got. He hasn't fought in like over a year and a half. He fought Clay Guida his last time out. Kneed him in the face after he was kind of down. I think he was down two rounds in that fight. And pulled some shit out of his motherfucking ass. But he did the same here. Moicano started taking over. It was really even in the first round. It was all striking. Brian Ortega's whole fucking corner was telling him, begging him, pleading with him to take the fight to the ground. He refused to do so. Second round, he started getting boxed up, Willie. Just getting punked all over the goddamn octagon. Third round, a little more of the same. Then this Renato Moicano dude started gassing out. and he made the Conor McGregor Nate Diaz one mistake and just shot in on some bullshit. Not sure why you're shooting in on a guy named T-City, which is a ode paying homage to how dope he is with triangles. He didn't catch him in a triangle, but he caught him in the cleanest guillotine you could ever catch. And he was probably could have been down another 2-0. It could have been 1-1 at best if they gave Ortega the first round, but it wasn't looking good for him in that third round. Catches him in a guillotine, that's all she wrote. So Brian Ortega was number 8. Moving up the ranks, dude's a bad motherfucker. Keep your eye on that dude. Moving right along. Henan Barão versus Aljamain Sterling. The first one of my correct predictions. Barão, well, we already know a little bit about Henan Barão. TJ Dillashaw Shang Tsung that motherfucker a few years ago, stole his soul, snatched it right out of his body, not once but twice. Fatality finished that motherfucker. That was the end of Henan Barão. It's never been the same since. Went up to 145, got that ass beat, slapped around by Jeremy Stephens, came running right back down. Like I mentioned, I was a little bit off on this one. I mentioned that Barão wasn't allowed to make the 135 pound by the commission, and I was right, but it was a catchweight at 140, which sucks for Aljamain. Gave Henan Barão a little bit of an advantage. He's a slightly bigger dude. Your boy Henan Barão would have never been champ if Dominick Cruz never got injured. If Dom didn't go through those series of 3-4 years of blowing out knee after knee after knee and hamstring and whatever the fuck he went through, Henan Barão, I said it a million times, Henan Barão would have never been the champion. And it only took TJ Dillashaw to come up, and I thought he was, Henan Barão was on like a 10-year undefeated streak. I thought he was one of the most overrated motherfuckers, definitely the most overrated champ in the last several years. Very vanilla, very straightforward. This dude, Aljamain Sterling, didn't give a fuck about him. Didn't respect him in that ring. Just started moving and grooving on the dude. Just beat his ass. Beat his ass all sorts. Either rounds 1 or 2 was a 10-8 round in my book. I had it 30-26. I didn't have that shit even close. So Aljamain Sterling gets a big dub. Maybe Sterling should go up to 145. I don't know. He looked pretty solid at 140. So I know he usually fights at 135. He probably wants that belt, but he looked pretty damn solid at 140. So let's go up in weight. Let's see what you can do. 145 is wide open right now. A whole fucking go up there. You just beat Henan Barão. Go beat his boy's ass, Jose Aldo. He's up there. He's waiting. He ain't got shit to do. He's twiddling his thumbs. Moving right along, we got Lamas versus Knight. Ugh. This was an ass whooping, son. Got this one too. This is another one I picked, Lamas. There's levels to this shit, motherfuckers. This is why a 15 doesn't jump up and fight a number 3, no matter what their fucking record is. There's levels to this shit. Our boy Lamas just powdered that ass and pappied him real quick. Just beat his ass. Change that boy on the koala table in the mall bathroom. Just sunned that dude. Took him under his wing. There's levels to this shit. You got that ass whooped, Mr. Jason Knight. You had a pretty good strategy of parrying punches with your face. Once you got up off the ground, some new shit I haven't seen. Definitely won't be trying that in the gym anytime soon. But you got to respect the levels, man. Ricardo Lamas, this dude's a perennial contender. Only lost to the best of the best. Max Holloway. Jose Aldo. He's only lost to the best. He might have even fought Frankie Edgar. Not sure. Don't check me on that. But he's only lost to the best. Had a title shot against Jose Aldo. 5th round, he's on top of Jose Aldo, beating his ass like Mark Hominick did when he had that alien growth growing out the fucking top of his forehead. But Lamas continues to win. I don't know why the fuck he took that fight. It doesn't really do anything for him. Maybe he just wanted to stay active. I don't know. Let me take a sip of this Guinness. Fucking Guinness. Dang. See, Whiskey, you done fucked up. Let me holler at you for a second. You bitched and moaned that I didn't have any drink for you last week. I got fucking Bud Lights. I got some wine if you wanted to get real romantic with me in here. I got candles we could have lit. I got Guinness. Fuck, man. I got it all this time. And you no show. You stood me up. A grinder date. You stood me up for my grinder date, motherfucker. I was wearing my skimpy little outfit, my skimpy little tank top, little short shorts. Stood me up. Motherfucker, text me when I'm already starting the podcast saying I'm not going to show up. No shit, motherfucker. I kind of figured that out already. I'm getting that ass a little more later. What do we got next? What do we got next? Who do we got? We got Manowar. We got Jimmy fucking Manowar versus Volkan Ozdemir. What to say about this? Fuck you, Jimmy Manowar. And that is all. Let's move on. Robbie Lawler versus Cowboy Cerrone. What a fucking fight. This was the scrap of the night. We knew it would be. This is what we were waiting for. But let me say something real quick about Cowboy Cerrone. Donald Cowboy Cerrone is the fighter that every guy sitting on the couch watching the fights says he would be if he was a fighter. Like, when he's at the bar and he's faded up, you know, after a couple PBRs, he starts chit-chatting with his homies at Buffalo Wild Wings. He's like, I'd be like Cowboy Cerrone if I was a fighter. If I was in the UFC, that's who I'd be. I'd be that fucking guy. Everybody automatically assumes they'd be the baddest motherfucker around. They'd be taking all the fights. They wouldn't be turning down shit. Cowboy is just that dude that everybody wants to be. He's everybody's fighter spirit animal. There's a little bit of Cowboy Cerrone in all of us deep down, we'd like to think, but he went up against another bad motherfucker who was born to fight, Robbie Lawler. This dude, Robbie Lawler, came out and said, fuck all that bullshit, got right in Cerrone's face, started just bitch slapping him around, bending him over, spanking that ass. To his credit, Donald Cerrone held on for dear fucking life. Like he was on a fucking roller coaster at Six Flags, just holding on for dear life, screaming, crying. But he made it through. He weathered the early storm, almost looked like he was just going to get fucking whooped right out of there, like when he fought, what's homeboy's name? Rafael Dos Anjos. Dos Anjos. When he got just tanked on in the first minute. It kind of looked like it was going to go that route, but Cerrone was able to hold on. Cerrone's big at 170. So, I mean, I would have thought that Lawler was going to be a lot bigger than him, but he wasn't. Definitely got back into the fight later in that round, but not quite enough to take round one. So round one definitely went to Robbie Lawler, especially the way he came out and just started fucking tanking on him like that, just disrespecting him. Oof, in front of his whole family and friends and shit like that, that shit was rude. Round two, all Donald Cerrone. Oh, Donald Cerrone. I think it's almost like Robbie Lawler took that round off, which he's been known to do. He takes rounds off. You're wondering what the fuck he's doing. He just gets real inactive, just moves around a lot, doesn't throw any punches. He said he only landed three fucking punches in the second round. I think I might have been able to land at least four. But went to the third round, so we're 1-1. Cerrone was credited with throwing more strikes, but Lawler was definitely landing more strikes. In my opinion, he was landing the heavier shots, throwing a lot of left legs. 100% stalking Cerrone all around the cage, moving forward, pushing the pace. Cerrone was backpedaling. That's what cost him the third round. The third round was a clear round for Robbie Lawler, although close. All you Cerrone nut huggers, very close. But no cigar. No cigar, motherfuckers. Robbie won that. I had him up 2-1. Went to the judges. The judges got this shit right. It was very close. We were all begging. This got to be a 5-round fight. This has got to be a 5-round fight. There's got to be a way that when you have a dope-ass matchup like this, that you can just make it 5 rounds. You can agree upon it, write it in the contract, have the commission sign off on it. And when they ask why we want it to be, because it's dope. Because it's going to bring in some money. I mean, this alone, they should have just kicked... Maya and fucking Woodley the fuck off this card. You know, they should have put them on the fight pass prelims. You know, I was right on that shit. I called that shit to a T. I'm saving that shit. Hold up. So then we had Cyborg versus Avenger. Well, we knew what was going to happen. Cyborg came out and did some philanthropist work, like some charity work, allowed Avenger to get to the third round, which if you had bet on this fight, after a round and a half, if Avenger lasted a round and a half, it paid 8-1, 9-1, somewhere in there. So if she lasted 7.5 minutes, you got paid fat if you put some dough on that. So for that, hats off to you, Tonya Avenger. You look whack as fuck. I'm not going to pretend you didn't. But you stayed in there. You took a jab right off the bat, and then you crumpled to the floor. And I was like, oh, shit. No, this is embarrassing. But I even think that she knew that this was embarrassing. I think she was planning to just get her ass up out of there, collect a paycheck and get out of there. But she's like, even this is pretty bad. I think she just knew when she was sitting on the canvas, like, yeah, I can't go out like this. So props to her for getting her ass back up. Very, very odd style. I don't even know what her style is, but you know, she hung in there. Basically, Cyborg let it go to the third round. She just wanted to get some work in, you know? She just wanted to showcase a little bit. She just wanted to show people. She didn't want to be in there for another minute. I mean, you're preparing for these fights for months, especially her. Nobody wants to fight her. They finally get somebody that wants to fight her, and she doesn't want it to be over in 30 seconds. Who the fuck wants to train for months just to have it all end in 30 seconds? So this was total charity case for Cyborg. Just really didn't want to put it on her. I don't even think she wanted to finish it in the third round. She just happened to hit her with the right hand, and that was it, you know? She just wounded the gazelle. She bit the gazelle in the ass and just let it bleed out, and then just stalked her, you know? Trolled her on the internet and shit until she couldn't take anymore, and then just put her out of her fucking misery. Cyborg was on some, like, Jack the Ripper, taunt the police with body parts in the mail type shit. Just some ruthless hooligan shit. Just letting her know that I could finish you at any time. Just stringing her along, you know, puppet mastering her, Tonya Avenger. Just creepy. It was creepy how she was just making her believe that she could, that Tonya actually stood a chance and started feeling herself a little bit for getting to the third round. And then she just dropped the whammy on her and put her out of her fucking misery. But, Tonya, hats off to you. No, the previous champ refused to even get in the fucking cage and just dropped the belt on the fucking ground and walked away and said, I don't even want it. So props to you, 135-pound Evicta champ. Goes up 10 pounds to fight a fucking monster who I've seen in real life. If you're a fan of the Whiskey Sick podcast, which I know there's a ton of you, then you've heard my story of when I used to train Miss Cyborg was one of the MMA Muay Thai instructors at the gym I was at the arena in San Diego. So I won't get into that, but I refused to even spar with her one day. So I know how daunting a task that is. So, Avenger, you did something I even refused to do. I did the Jermaine Durandamy years ago. I opened the door for Jermaine to do what she did. I did it so she wouldn't have to, but she still did it. So, you know, I got a little sympathy for you, but you're the fucking champ. Nut the fuck up. So Cyborg wants to fight Holly Holm next. Like the matchup. Holly Holm finally got a dub. So maybe now she goes up to 145 and they make that a title shot. Who the fuck else are they going to fight? First of all, there's not a whole lot of 145-pound women. Especially not fighters. Maybe you give it to Megan Anderson. But we saw her fucking get out of Dodge after she agreed to the fight about 24 hours later, she realized what she agreed to and said, nah, fuck all that. I got personal problems. I can't take this fight. So, Cyborg, you the new 145-pound champ. Long time fucking coming. You were already the champ, so it didn't even feel like there was a new champ. She was already the champ. And I think Dominic Cruz or maybe it was Rogan, one of them said that, you know, this is actually the real inaugural 145-pound championship fight, because that first shit, number one, Jermaine, you didn't even win that fucking fight. You landed 50% of your punches after the fucking bell on Holly Holm, like on two separate occasions. You still got boxed up. You lost easily 3 or 4 rounds of that fight, and still somehow, some way, you got the decision. I think it was overseas. can't remember exactly where, you got the fucking gift, and then you get this belt. You're the worst champion in the history of the sport, basically. Now, you were talk about flash in the pan, but you going back down to 135 and doing everything you can to avoid Cyborg. She haunts you in your dreams. She Freddy Krueger's your ass every fucking night. You close your eyes, you see Cyborg. I understand. I'd have done the same thing, too. In fact, I did. Moving right along. Maya versus Woodley. Can't say I didn't tell you, motherfuckers. I told you so. You can't say I didn't tell you. Me and Whiskey, we sat here. What did we tell you? Go run back episode 13. We called this shit to a fucking T. We said this is going to be the most boring fight, the worst fight in the history of title fights. And it's going to one-up the last worst title fight of all time, which so happened Damian Maia was in that one too. So now Damian Maia has participated in the two worst title fights in UFC history when he fought Anderson Silva at 185. And then now 7 years later, he finally gets a shot. You wondering why it took you 7 years to get a fucking title shot and you kept getting jumped over, kept getting leapfrogged? Well, you know why, Damian Maia. You know why. Because of this bullshit last night. This shit beat the record. It blew out the record. This was 28-3 at halftime type shit for least amount of punches landed in a 5-round title fight. 60 punches total. 60. For both motherfucking fighters between the two of them. Damn. That's crazy. Tyron Woodley, he bitches, he moans, he plays the race card at every turn, at every corner, every left turn yield he comes across, he plays the race card, screams that he's being treated inhumanely and all this other bullshit that he wants to throw out there. Look, dude, you're the worst title holder right now, period. And I don't mean like you have skills, you just don't display them. You refuse. You can say what the fuck you want about the tactics, and you didn't want to get taken down. Yo, after the first round, after there were 22 failed takedown attempts by Damian Maia, I'd say about 15 of those were in the first fucking round. So after the first fucking round, you had no excuse to not go balls to the wall and just blow this dude out the water at that point. Especially after the second and third round. Damian Maia, when he fought LaFleur, I forget dude's first name, years ago, it was a 5-round main event when they first started doing main events at 5 rounds, was like laying on his back in the fourth round and the fifth round, trying to pull guard and just laying on his stomach with his hands behind his head like he was going to do sit-ups and shit, begging LaFleur to come into his guard because he was so gassed out. So after the third round, you know this dude has no tank. After fucking 20 some odd failed attempts, you could rest assured he was not going to get you down to the ground, Woodley. It's time to put the pedal to the metal and put this dude away. That's what real champs do. I understand playing your game plan, sticking to it, trying to stay on your feet, fight off all these takedowns. You know, you look great, you did fantastic with that, but then you threw like one punch a minute. You threw one fucking punch a minute. Even Damian Maia was landing left hands on your ass. I'm looking at this. I'm like, how the fuck did Robbie Lawler lose to this guy? The luckiest shit ever. Hits him with a fucking right hand right off the bat, and that's it, you know? Sometimes luck just changed somebody's whole life. Now he has 3 straight title defenses. The last two were 2 of the most boring fights ever. I'll give you the first Wonder Boy fight. That was a good-ass fight. But after that, you start backing yourself up against the cage and refusing to fight and refusing to engage. The crowd was trolling these fuckers in the middle. Yo, I love Anaheim, first off. Second home to me. Grew up around the area when I was younger. My pops was in the military at El Toro Marine Base back in the day in Tustin and all that shit, if y'all remember. I'm an Angels fan. Love Anaheim. And them motherfuckers showed out last night. They were bored out their fucking minds. So what did they do? You know, in rock concerts where they hold the lighters up, but that shit's old school. So now they hold up their cell phones and hold it up like a light during a slow song, during like a serenade, an acoustic performance, you know, just something real slow and melodic. So these motherfuckers started taunting Maya and Woodley by putting up... You should check out the footage, man. The whole stadium's lit up with people holding their cell phones, just trolling these motherfuckers. That's how boring this shit was. I'd rather watch ants fuck than watch this fucking fight. As a matter of fact, I started watching Golden Girl episodes. I swear to God, I had this shit on the stream, on the computer, and then I had the regular TV on in the background. I started flipping through. I found TV Land. They had motherfucking Golden Girls on there. It was the episode where Blanche gets tossed up by the mailman and Rose gambles a paycheck at the bingo hall. That shit was way more entertaining than this. I couldn't even stand this shit. Fucking went, took a shit, read some memes, got on Instagram, came back, still only the third round, like, fuck, what am I gonna do now? Went and made some fucking mac and cheese. Chopped up some wieners in there, threw it in there, mixed it up real good, real proper, came out, ate that shit, come back, still 2.5 minutes left in the fourth round. I didn't know what the fucking to do with myself. Started flipping through the channels, found a dope Vice show that I'll be talking about later, found the Vice episode of the week. Just did a lot of shit. I was real productive during the Woodley-Maya fight. I got a lot of shit done. Filled out some job applications. Trying to upgrade and move on. Just a whole lot of shit I got done, man. So in a way, I kind of owe Woodley and Maya for giving me a break and allowing me to get some shit done. But that shit was whack as fuck. Whiskey and I sat here. We told you it would be. Anybody who thought otherwise, and all you buster ass, Chauncey ass motherfuckers online on BJPenn.com and all these other little fucking troll ass websites. Saying that those who didn't enjoy this fight are just not MMA fans of MMA. They don't understand the intricate techniques that are involved. Fuck you. Fuck you, you little fucking... You PC little man bun, Chauncey ass, little buster babies. That shit was whack. You can't justify that shit. That shit was whack. Homie failed 22 times to take him down. At some point, he just started lunging at his legs, at his ankles like a little chihuahua and laying on his knees, on his hands and knees. Like, Woodley could have just started blasting him with punches at any time, and he refused to. And then, at the end, it was so bad, Dana White couldn't even hold back his misery. He said, fuck that fight. He said, fuck that shit. He said, that was the worst shit I ever saw. He said, as a matter of fact, GSP, he ain't fighting at 170. I was going to make him fight Woodley at 170. I didn't want him to go up and fight at middleweight. But now I got no choice. Woodley, you fucked up so bad. That shit was so whack that now we have to watch GSP fight Michael Bisping at 185, which he's never fought at. We already have an interim champ, so we don't got to. We can't see Bisping fight Whitaker, which I want it to, because GSP is probably going to win that fight, so I don't get to see that fight, and then GSP is going to probably relinquish the belt and then go down to 170, so I'll never get to see Woodley Pappy that Bisping ass, so fuck you for that. You were so goddamn boring that, you know, he can't, Dana White can't even risk having another stalemate, you know, because that's kind of a clash of styles right there. You got GSP who likes to do takedowns, but I mean, I guess that would have been a boring fight anyways, but you got to think that GSP would have at least outpointed him on the feet. But just fuck that fight. You could just throw that out of the whole UFC library. You never need to see that again. You never need to see that on Unleashed, UFC Unleashed, or any of those shows where they replay all the UFC Reloaded shows. If you're on Fight Pass and you go back into the archives to try to find this fight, it won't be there. It's stricken from the record books. That shit was just doo-doo butter. R. Kelly doo-doo butter. Get rid of that shit. Main event. So, I let my emotions at the time dictate my pick. I was all for Jones. And then at the end, I started feeling a little crazy because Whiskey picked John Jones, so I wanted to be a little different. I wanted to stir the pot, so I went with Cormier. I picked Cormier the first time, too, if we're being honest here. I feel like I can be honest with you guys. I picked Cormier, and to be honest with you, I had Cormier winning the first two rounds. Jones came out of each of the first two rounds, came out real, real aggressive, pushing the pace, doing the damn thing, but Cormier was landing the heavier shots. Cormier was landing heavy shots. Uppercuts knocked Jones' mouthpiece off right at the get-go at the clinch. Cormier really fixed the clinch. He was landing big punches in the clinch. He wasn't getting dominated in the clinch like he was in the first one. Now, they both kind of took each other down throughout the course of the fight. Nice trip from Cormier. Cormier got taken down in the first round but rolled out of it real quick, so it wasn't quite a takedown. But I thought Cormier was doing the damn thing. He was fighting a perfect fight. But what caught him in that third round is he kept trying to, like, scoot back from the leg kicks, those cheap-ass ACL tear little stabbing kicks that Jones does. And a lot of these other fighters have started, you know, utilizing, which I think should definitely be illegal. The same shit that Yoel Romero was using against Whitaker that blew out his knee in the first round. It's only a matter of time till somebody blows their knee out and never fights again because of that bullshit. But Jones is doing that over and over again. I think Cormier started throwing some himself, but he was kind of like scooting back. But in doing so, he kind of kicked out his hips and his head would come down. And Jones just, man, he looked good at times. And he can throw that lead left leg out of nowhere, man. He can bring it up with no tell. There's no wasted movement. It's quick as fuck. He lands the kick. He lands clean. Nothing but shin across. Cormier answers the shin phone. And he looked like a backup dancer in the Thriller video. He looked like one of those zombie dudes in the background just fucking wobbling and shit. And you're like, oh no. You knew what was gonna happen. It's like watching 48 hours and the investigators find actual video of the murder, and you're watching this shit and you know what's about to happen. That's what this shit was. And Cormier just gets obliterated, just gets smashed out. His head's tucked between his legs, stuck inside the fence or some shit. They had to, like, pry his head out of the fence, I think. He got up, like, minutes later and thought the fight was still going on, was protesting the stoppage. Cormier, if you're listening, we thought you were dead, homie. We thought Big John let it go a little too far. And you get up on that street, you know, on that street where dudes offer $5 blow and goes, if you know what I'm talking about, Queer Street. And you were completely out of it, getting just look. We never seen that happen to you, man. You took the L. You started acting mad salty. Started talking mad shit to the people that were trying to help you out. I guess you were in a state of disarray. I'll give you a pass for that shit. But you got your ass kicked, son. You looked great until you didn't. You were winning until you lost. And John Jones takes this opportunity to call out Brock Lesnar. Now, I had a couple takes on that shit. I'd like to see that fight. I'd like to see a smaller dude like that. We saw, it's not completely foreign, we saw Brock Lesnar fight Randy Couture back in the day. Randy Couture was all of 225 pounds when he fought Brock Lesnar, so it's not nothing new. A lot older in his career. John Jones is way taller, way more athletic, way more reach, a lot more tools than Randy Couture had at that time. So, I definitely think John Jones would stand a chance, but you're giving up a lot of weight, and Brock Lesnar is a fucking beast. And if you can at least get out of the first round, you're definitely going to win that fight, Bones Jones. Problem I have with this call-out is you're over here acting like you mentioned Volkan Oezdemir, who knocked out Manawa. You mentioned Manawa, who just got deaded in about 40 seconds. You mentioned those guys as possible contenders at 205. But you blatantly, conveniently, leaving out the one motherfucker that cracked your ass and you got a gift decision from. My man Gus, Alexander Gustafsson. You're acting like you didn't just see him duff Glover Teixeira the fuck out. Finish Glover Teixeira in the fourth round of their fight. Maybe it was the fifth round. One of the two. Late in the fight. Fifth round. It was the fifth round. finished Glover Teixeira, which you couldn't do. You didn't finish Glover. You blew his elbow. You blew his shoulder out in the first round. Still couldn't finish him. Gus goes out there, dances circles around a motherfucker, boxes his ears in. Gave you more than you could handle. Sent you to the fucking hospital. They had you on fucking life support that night. Gustafson's out with his family, you know, eating Baskin-Robbins. You're in the fucking hospital. You still suffer from PTSD from that fight. And you're over here acting like Gus doesn't exist. Calling out Anthony Joshua and Vladimir Klitschko and Brock Lesnar and every fucking name in the book except for the one motherfucker you know that's going to crack that ass again. So for that, fuck you, John Jones. But you look good. You came back. You got your title back. I applaud you. You took the high road. Cormier's over there in the corner, babbling, crying like a little baby. Like he wasn't the champ for two fucking years. Like he didn't have the belt. Like he wasn't on top of the fucking world. You know? I understand it's heartbreaking. But dude, Cormier, come on, my man. You lost the fight. So fucking what? These dudes, like I said a couple episodes ago, they get so attached to this fucking belt. It fucking paralyzes them. It fucking runs their life. Like Cormier, you tasted what nobody ever gets to taste. Motherfuckers don't even get to fight for a title. You defended your belt multiple times. You were the dude. You look good against Jones. You lost. So fucking what? Now you're over here in the corner crying. You're going to be the new Jordan crying meme. You're the new Jordan meme, man. How you going to do that to yourself? You had to have known. I know Joe Rogan wasn't supposed to interview you, and he did. It was a weak-ass interview anyways. He just asked you a simple question. You kind of took the high road. But John Jones, hats off to you, man. You kind of squashed the beef. You last time you made fun of him for crying, and here he is right in front of you crying. And you didn't stick it to him, so I give you props to that. I'll stick it to him for you. You just memed yourself for eternity, Daniel Cormier. You fucked up on that. You were better off just running out of the cage and going straight to the locker room, which we thought you were going to do anyways. So, John Jones, the new and again 205-pound champion. Don't you start Floyd Mayweather and my man Gusto. Show the fuck up. Fight Gustafson. Brock Lesnar is still on that USADA suspension. Then he's got to come back after in November he's cleared. And then he has to go through 6 months of clean testing before he's even cleared to fight. So you can't even fight this dude until I don't even know, May? April of next year? Earliest you could probably fight him? May? So you're definitely going to have to fight before then. And there's nobody except for Gustafson. You ain't fighting Uzdemir, homie. This dude has He has three fights in the UFC and about 1 minute total octagon time. I don't know. He looks okay. I mean, he touches people when they go to sleep, but his skills don't look very good. He don't look technical at all. He just looks like he prays and just throws punches and people just fall down in front of him. Manoa. Fuck you, Jimmy Manoa. That was my first wrong pick. So the picks I missed on this card were Jimmy Manoa getting deaded up. Deaded up Willie by Volkan Uzdemir, and then I picked Cormier, who got deaded up Willie by John Jones. I got all the other picks right. Off camera, I picked the T-City over Moicano, but I won't take credit for that one because I didn't put that on wax on the last episode. I did get another fight. So actually, I went 6-2, but there's a little asterisk next to the Broner versus Garcia fight. I did pick Garcia to win that fight. But I said that it would be the bet of the week to put some money down on Broner. That was before I knew, Chavez Jr. was going to show up in blackface in place of Adrian Broner and do absolutely nothing for 12 rounds. Chavez Jr. came in, dressed like Adrian Broner, went out there and did absolutely nothing, just stood there. Just like we were talking about last week, looked like the PlayStation 4 controller ran out of batteries. Homie's just sitting there, standing there, like you left the game on pause. And my man Mikey Garcia, who hadn't fought in 2 years, improved to 37 and 0. I think he was like 36. He's a lot and 0. A lot and 0. He's never lost. We don't even know how good he was because Broner didn't even show up. The dude who yip-yaps, skip-scaps, gum-flaps the most, you know, dances his way down into the... It makes a fucking scene on his way down into the ring. Didn't even show up. He just stood there. He got boxed up. I had him... My stream for that one was kind of weak. It was real, real glitchy. So I didn't get to see it in its entirety. I don't even care to go back and watch it. I'm going to barely give it a nod over the Maya Woodley fight, just a little bit better. But basically, Broner, you laid a fucking egg. This dude came down in weight. You went up in weight. You guys met there because no, there was nobody really for you guys to fight at this time. And you just mailed it in. So I was a little wrong on that because I said it would be good a good bet to make money with Broner being plus 260. I was wrong, but I did pick Garcia to win that fight. So for the weekend I was 6-2. So if you roll with your boy Seth Gecko, aka Moody Hank, you could have made a little bit of dough. So the next one, the next UFC, I think it's a fight night. I think it's Anthony Pettis's brother, Sergio Pettis is scrapping. Forget who he's fighting. We'll talk about that shit on another time. I think that's pretty much all of the fight. Let me roll through my little Rolodex here. Yep, that's pretty much all of it for 214. I got to touch on this a little bit. I meant to be touching on this a couple weeks ago. This dude, Oscar De La Hoya, my man, would you shut the fuck up already? This dude sounds so salty. He sounds like a fucking bitter Sancha. Just a side piece that's just been forgotten about. The side piece that fell in love. The disgruntled side piece that's threatening to run the wifey and blow the whole shit up. Holding homie hostage. Homie's throwing that good dick. Bitch falls in love. He fucks her till she loves him. And now she's threatening to blow the whole scheme up. That's Oscar De La Hoya right now. This dude's still yip-yapping, talking shit about a fight that he fucking wanted. And now... It's a double fuck you, Oscar, because now you put me in a position, my back's against the wall, and I have no other option than to defend Floyd Mayweather. Money Mayweather. I gotta come to his defense. Because you're over here talking about Floyd Mayweather's style is bad for boxing. The fuck? You bitter Betty, you. Is this because he stomped your little ass? You gave it all you could and came up short? What's the real reason why you're hating? Bad for boxing. Because he's the best defensive fighter in the sport? I'm sorry, man. I thought the whole idea, the whole science of boxing, the perfect science of boxing, was to hit and not be hit. That's what it is. That's the purpose of this shit. And you criticizing a guy who is the best at hitting people and not being hit and calling it bad for boxing is like criticizing a pitcher for striking out every single batter. Like, oh, fuck, man, the game's boring because this pitcher is out here striking everybody out. It's like criticizing a fucking QB for never throwing an interception or a fucking hockey goalie for never giving up a goal. That's what you're doing. You're criticizing a fucking dude for throwing no hitters. For throwing shutouts. That's what you're doing. That's the fucking point of this, Oscar De La Hoya. I hear you on fucking TMZ. It's always some little seedy ass TMZ. You coming out the fucking Fredericks of Hollywood with your little bag of fresh lingerie and shit that you wear. You coming out, you get caught. Maybe you get caught off guard. And the only thing you can think to do to deflect the fact that you're coming out of a Fredericks of Hollywood with high heels on is to talk shit about Mayweather and McGregor. The fight that you fucking wanted for Canelo Alvarez. And you didn't get. So now you're a fucking bitter Sancha on the sidelines. Plotting, scheming how you're going to blow this whole shit up. How you're going to run the wifey. Are you saving the text messages and the emails and the Snapchats and the dick pics? You're saving all that up. You got a nice little folder on your iPhone. And you're about to fucking just nuke that shit on over to wifey. You've been going through homie's cell phone, getting wifey's number, getting the address, plotting, scheming. And now you're ready to blow the whole shit up. You bitter Betty you. Oscar, shut the fuck up. That's the last time I'm gonna dress your ass. You got me over here defending Floyd Mayweather. Now, I've said it before, I don't have nothing against Floyd Mayweather. He is one of the greatest of all time. He's definitely the greatest defensive boxer of all time. He's not the greatest boxer of all time. But he's definitely one of the dopest ever. He beats people without getting hit. That's the fucking point, homeboy. When you're on the pitcher's mound, the point is to not let anybody hit the fucking ball. So when you strike everybody out, if you strike out 27 batters, is that bad for baseball? If you go a whole season in the NFL and you don't throw a fucking interception, is that bad for football? If you're a goalie, you don't ever give up a goal, is that bad for the NHL? Fuck no, motherfucker. That's the point of this shit. And you weren't very good at that shit when you fought him. And now you're terrified, you're shaking in your little garter belt. You're shivering, shaking. Shaking in your bustier. That maybe, just maybe, an MMA fighter might have a better showing against Floyd Mayweather than you. That if Conor McGregor goes out there and holds his own and by some crazy chance actually beats Floyd Mayweather, what's it going to say about you? Because you done already lost to him. And what's it going to say about your prized horse, Canelo, who got shut the fuck out 12-0, 12 rounds to zero against Floyd Mayweather? All these Max Kellermans and motherfuckers saying Conor's not going to land a punch, he's not going to win a round. Well, it wouldn't be much different than fights that Mayweather's already been in. It's not going to be much different than Canelo's fight against Mayweather, where he got boxed up for 12 rounds straight. And now you feel threatened that a little MMA guy is going to come up out of nowhere and have a better showing than you, Oscar De La Hoya. Man, shut the fuck up. Now, hopefully, that's the last time I'm going to have to address your ass. Fall back. Fall back, motherfucker. I got to save this shit now. Yes, 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 yes. I know exactly what I want to talk about. I got to switch gears completely. I got to put you guys on to some ill shit. You got to find... If you don't have HBO, get HBO. Get HBO Go. Find somebody who has HBO and use their logon information. You ain't using mine. But you got to go check out The Defiant Ones, which is about Jimmy Iovine and Dr. Dre. And it parallels their careers and how they both came up and eventually came together and just completely blew up the whole music industry. Jimmy Iovine comes, how he got into producing music for all sorts of people. Tom Petty was one of them, U2, Stevie Nicks, went on to started his own record label, as you know, as Interscope, got away from producing, started becoming more of a businessman. At the same time as telling you the story of N.W.A., if you watch the N.W.A. movie from 2015, very close to that, but it shows how these worlds collide. It starts with how the Beats, Beats by Dre, if you guys remember, was sold for like $4 billion, some crazy amount of billions of dollars to Apple. And how Dr. Dre and Tyrese got fucked up in the studio and almost blew the whole deal up because they got fucked up, drunk, started pillow talking on Snapchat and started broadcasting that Dre was the first billionaire in hip hop. Meanwhile, the deal isn't even done. It's supposed to be under wraps. Nobody's supposed to know about it. Apple didn't want anybody hearing about it. They wanted to announce it in their own way. So that was a huge sticking point. Jimmy Iovine's over there having a phone conversation or is having like talks with Apple as they spoke. And somebody comes in and tells Jimmy Iovine that Dr. Dre and Tyrese are wilding the fuck out and put the whole shit on blast. And the whole thing almost came to a screeching halt. Dr. Dre calls it one of his most embarrassing moments because he almost fucking pillow-talked his way out of $1 billion or $2 billion, whatever his cut of it was. But they go into how they produced the actual product. They show Jimmy and Dre in the in a car, like testing the actual speakers out and shit. And they just go deep into the whole NWA and then the whole how Interscope came to be. It's fucking dope. It's a 4-part series. I'm actually only even done with the second episode, so I haven't even got to the point. I've got to the point where NWA breaks up, and where Jimmy Iovine went on tour with U2, and then decides during the U2, those U2 dudes, Bono is apparently wild as fuck, wild for the night, and he can't take it no more. Iovine can't, so he starts wanting to do business shit and kind of steps away from the whole production side. And then now we're going to get into those two meeting and creating Aftermath Records. And then the last episode, the grand finale, is your man, Slim Shady, Eminem, a.k.a. Marshall Mathers, coming into the mix. And you think about it, Dre said it best. He said every time he kind of ran into a roadblock in his life, the perfect person would come into his life. You know, when he, with the world-class Wrecking Crew, was falling apart and kind of went as far as it was going to run, he met Eazy-E and Ice Cube and those dudes and formed NWA. When NWA starts to go down, the DOC introduces them to a guy named Suge Knight, who introduces them to Tupac and Snoop Dogg. And then when they run through all that in Chronic 2000 and in the late 90s, he runs into a guy named Eminem. And then you can even go further where M and Dre run into a guy named 50 Cent. And, you know, 50 ain't the type, ain't the music dude he was back in the day, but when he first came out, He was a whirlwind. He was a tornado. So you think about all the acts that this dude has had, and then now even Kendrick Lamar, even after 50 Cent, now he runs into Kendrick Lamar, and now he's got Kendrick. So just the perfect people have always fallen into Dr. Dre's lap and just made a crazy career. And the same with Interscope with Jimmy Iovine. You know, he puts this together, gives Dre a spinoff label off of his shit, and lets him run with it, and then he goes and finds all these talent and brings it under the umbrella of Interscope. So Jimmy Iovine's over here sitting pretty. He's a fat cat, and just killing shit. You gotta watch this shit. It's called The Defiant Ones. Jimmy Iovine was on Howard Stern a couple weeks ago promoting this shit. Way interesting, dude. You wouldn't even believe the songs that he helped produce, the albums he helped produce. Just his imprint on music is crazy. He found himself early on when he wasn't even an engineer. He didn't even know how to engineer a fucking record. And he finds himself in there with homie from the fucking Beatles. What's homie's name from the fucking Beatles? Don't crucify me for this. Hold on a second. John Lennon. Just for your information, I didn't actually look it up. It hit me. John Lennon. He ends up in the studio with John Lennon producing a song. Just basically acted as if he knew what the fuck he was doing, and sits down at the boards and they produced a track for John Lennon, and the rest is fucking history. He runs off an incredible career after that. So Defiant Ones, go check that shit out. What else we got on this shit today? Cop planting drugs on body cam. Yeah, that's a bad look. Do we want to get up in there? We want to talk about Vice Essentials, Crocodile. Yes, okay, let's do that one first. Since we're still talking about shows, I always give you guys the Viceland episode of the week. I'm gonna hit you with another Vice Essentials. I got to hit you with this shit. Kids, just say no to drugs. There's this drug that really, literally, not figuratively, literally, turns you into a fucking zombie. It eats your fucking flesh. You gotta look this shit up. It's big in Russia. It's made with, like, I don't even know what the fuck it's made. It's called Crocodile. Like crocodile, but Crocodile. Krokodil. Go look this shit up if you haven't heard of this shit. But basically, it's made with, like, all sorts of kinds of chemicals that are cooked up and injected into the veins, and it literally eats your veins. It slowly eats your veins from the inside out and eats your flesh. It's a flesh-eating drug that eats your flesh from the inside out. These dudes are walking around with exposed bones. Homie's injecting this shit in his, I don't know where the fuck he's in his butt, wherever the fuck, and his legs are like, have exposed bones. Like the calf muscle is gone. Like you see straight to the bone. The shin is just, there's no skin on it. And these dudes are doing this. They say that heroin addicts, have a life expectancy of 4 to 7 years, heavily addicted to heroin. The life expectancy of somebody addicted to crocodile, less than a year. This shit kills you in less than a year. They interviewed these motherfuckers in Russia. Russians are crazy. I don't mean any negative about it, but y'all motherfuckers are crazy. You're crazy fighters. There's no fear. You do crazy shit. I see you motherfuckers out there, and now you're doing this crocodile shit. And this shit just popped up about in 2002. Siberia, I guess there's no shit to do, spread throughout the country since. With several drugs, are quickly and harshly addictive, physical damaging, sets a new standard for fast destruction of mind, spirit, and body. The medical name for this drug is desmorphine. I got that shit. That sounded like Floyd Mayweather right there. Damn, what are you carrying a school book for? You can't even read. It's made at home by acquiring codeine, sold over the counter for headaches, cooking it with paint thinner. Right there, I stop. You're cooking codeine with paint thinner? Gasoline, hydraulic acid. Acid, homie. The fuck? What does acid do? Corrodes, eats. The fucking, it's gonna eat your skin up. What the fuck are you doing? Hydraulic acid and iodine. And the red phosphorus from matchbox strike pads. So that red shit on a fucking match that catches on fire, that sparks, that's added to this shit. It's the resulting liquid is injected into the vein. The high from this drug lasts 90 minutes to 2 hours and it takes about a half hour to make the drug. So crocodile addict does little other than get the ingredients and cook up the drug. Check this shit out. I mean, this shit is crazy. They were interviewing this lady who had two sons that were basically brain fucking dead. They were brain dead. They were vegetables. They looked okay from the outside. The face did, at least. Their legs were completely eaten away. And this is how the interview went with this dude. They said, the interviewer says, so how long have you been addicted to crocodile? And the first boy answered, That was his answer. I quote. That was in quotation marks. He can't even talk. The motherfucker can't even form words. They asked the other dude, what first got you into this? Why would you do this? You saw other people all fucked up off this shit. You see them walking around missing legs and shit. Why would you do it? He says, and that was the interview, man. It summed it all up for you. Brain dead motherfuckers. These dudes are walking around like zombies, missing limbs and shit. So kids, stay the fuck away from this shit. I never thought I'd be recommending spice over another drug, but fuck with spice. Go smoke some fucking potpourri over this crocodile. This shit is no joke. Stay the fuck away from that shit. Last but not least, we got a dumbass of the week. Complete dumbass of the week. Giving bad names to the hardworking men and women of the police forces. We all know how touchy this subject is. A lot of crazy shit. A lot of ill-ass shit going down with police officers all over the country. The few are the bad apple spoiling the bunch. We got another individual here. Where's this dude from? I think he's from Baltimore. He's from Baltimore Police Department. Look, man. Before you start planting drugs on people, you should know how your body camera works. You know what I mean? Like, you should know how your equipment works. There's a failsafe on these body cams where it starts recording. It's kind of like your iPhone, and you got that live picture. It starts recording 3 seconds before you actually push the button. Well, these fucking body cams start recording about 30 seconds before you hit the button. That's for motherfuckers that are into some shit. I want to, like, hide it and then turn their body cam after the shit has already hit the fan. And then they can act innocent. Well, this motherfucker, he's in the backyard. I'm assuming he's trying to serve some warrant or he's after some suspect. He's got a little baggie, this officer of something, some white shit, I don't know. And he basically rummages through this backyard. There's some debris back there. There's a can of some sort, and he takes this little baggie of shit and puts it in the can and then hides it underneath some debris and then turns on his body cam, not realizing that it was already recording for 30 seconds before he hit the fucking button, and it actually caught him fucking planting evidence on some OJ shit with the gloves in the backyard, Kato Kaelin shit, and he ratted on himself. Then he comes up, you know, sprinkle some coke and let's get out of here on some Dave Chappelle shit. Acts like he just found a fucking gold mine with his homies. He calls him over. Oh, look what I found! All surprise and shit. Trying to play it off. Just so happened to be walking by a empty can and happened to look into it and find a bag of narcotics in there. Like that wasn't suspicious enough. And one of the other officers that was with him even said the officer, one of his colleagues, says, "Yo." And as he holds up a small cellophane bag containing the pills, one of the colleagues shouts back, "What up?" The video ends ends a few seconds later. As the officer searches the lot for evidence, a colleague can be heard saying, "Is that 30? Possibly in reference to the way the body camera is worn. So basically, the other dude is like, "Yo, you know, he smelled something was wrong." Like, there's always one astute dude in the bunch that's like, "This dude happened to stumble on this shit? I call shenanigans." You do know, my man, that those body cams record 30 seconds before you actually turn them on? And I bet homie's heart just fucking shat right out his butthole. His butthole puckered all tight. Little brown starfish got all swollen. And he realized, that was the moment that he realized he done fucked up. Now this dude's under investigation. He's gonna get his ass kick the fuck off the force. It's hard enough trying to get on the police force. One of the few that actually gets through. Probably some other qualified individuals who went out for the same position probably got disqualified to make room for this fucking guy. And he goes and makes a mockery of the fucking system. Good riddance. Need this dude off the streets. Hopefully he gets some kind of, I don't know how it works, but hopefully this motherfucker gets some charges brought up on his ass. Because where did you get that shit from? Where'd you get those narcotics from, homeboy? Was that your personal stash that you took that from? So I'm going to need a warrant for that house. We're going to have to run that house real quick. You better call your wife and tell them we're going to be over in about 15 minutes. Because we need to find out why you even had that shit. Where the fuck you get it from? You taking it out of evidence? You buying that shit yourself? Mad shady, my homie. Mad shady, you done fucked up. You giving the good police officers a bad name. There's no defending this shit. There's no defending it. You fucked, son. You fucked. So that's dumb fuck of the week. Whatever the fuck name you want to call him. Chauncey ass motherfucker of the week. I don't care. I got some other shit. I'm going to save that. We're around the 1 hour mark. Rolling Dolo again. Roll Dolo. Holding it down. Putting out this content. I recorded this shit on my iPhone. I don't know how entertaining that shit is, just sitting there staring at me in a fucking room. But, you know, we'll try to put it on YouTube. We said that we were going to get on YouTube last week. Got to get in Whiskey's ass again. Sent him the footage. He's got the footage. Sent him the audio. Still nothing. Nothing on YouTube. Acting like it's tax season and he can't get shit done. He's an accountant. He can't get shit done. Can't account for his time properly, apparently. So here we are, all this content and nothing to do with it. So I'm going to shoot this on over to him. I'll have him edit this shit real quick. Or maybe I'll edit it myself. I don't know. Maybe I'll figure this shit out. Maybe I'll just put it up with all the bullshit that I have on here. Not edit it at all. You can just see how we roll this shit. But that's it for today. UFC 214, dope-ass fucking card in closing. That shit was a dope card, top to fucking bottom, with the exception of the Woodley fight, Maya Woodley. Erase that shit from your memory on some Men in Black shit, on some Total Recall shit. Just forget all about that. Other than that, it was a dope card. Chavez Jr. in blackface versus Mikey Garcia. That shit was kind of whack. Glad Garcia got the dub. Brony shit the bed. Big boxing matches coming up. Vasyl Lomachenko, I think, fights next weekend. I'll be touching on that. I'll be touching on the Sergio Pettis fight night that's coming up. And we'll get into some of these little topics I've been hoarding on over here. Until then, you know who I am. I'll be that dude, Seth Gecko, a.k.a. Moody Hank. And this is the Whiskey Sick Podcast. If you dig this motherfucking shit, go out and tell your homies. If you dig this shit, go out and listen to all the other episodes. Until next time, I'm out.
Why stop? Be the next to move. I stop, put the rest on you. My loss, nothing left to choose from 2-1. You run, I hide like I have. Like all my life, now I have. Like all my life, that sidetrack. My fault, I like that. I'm back. My fault, I died. That's night that. We bought, I found that breath that I lost, but caught the vibe. Spectres are costing, I'll decline. The advances, chances, I'll just lie. I don't have time. I don't want to find out right now. Like, wow, ass is a diamond. It cost me dollars to hit that once. May wanna holler when I get those funds. Make those runs. See, I won't stop, not now. I found my lane. Just watch me knock me down. You won't get up. Creep through the fog. Till just all settles, level, settle again now. Serve that base, but the jumps won't travel. Never let them go now.
Walked away, but you can't run from those thoughts. From what seems to be what's lost, to be those dreams you gave up on. But it's safe, just one breath of the doubt now. Rest of the doubt down. Next swing round, round. Best get out now. Till top comes off and I rock this beat. Don't stop, just pause, get me off this shit. Cause I won't step down when I reach that. Sky too hot, too fly, too high. Won't give up, but I know.
One glance, we dip on two. Our chance just went through the roof that I stood on the beach this high. Truth is, I put on your seat this time. I'm done walking past that ass and I backtrack fast. That last, that smash, and you back that up. Then you fuck, drop it now. Beat that shit, then I leave no prints. Just three Trojans, never need no hints. Sit down, dip, walk, get out. That booth, that truth, don't talk too loud. Scream my name, won't leave the same way I came in. I may end up on top, I'll stay on the bottom. I'll rock this bitch, lock gets picked. Door wide open, no knock, just kick back. Spit tracks, make myself at home. Pins back, take my chance and blow up like you never did. Fuck, but you never hit like I did. 9 by 6, that's why I came alive. That's where you gonna lock. That's friend gonna hide. Middle of the room. Riddle's a fool that question himself when the chips are down. What's your bitch ass now?
Walked away, but you can't run from those thoughts. From what seems to be what's lost, to be those dreams you gave up on. But it's safe, just one. Wrestling it out now. Wrestling it out down. Next week, round, round. Best get out now. Till top comes off and I rock this bitch. Don't stop, just pause. Get me off this shit. Cause I won't step down when I reach that. Sky too high, too fly, too high. Won't give up, but I know you'll be there to the end of the road.
Blank stairs, I go for mine. Faint glares, approaching time. Time you never get back. You never let that shit ever rest. That's your ever risk. Backs up to the ledge. Last up, better bless this crowd now. Just bow down, take that hand, introduce myself. State my plans, better pull my wealth. Pull myself up one more time, but let you down. Just one more two, swing you round. Just one more two step, you let loose. You best lose those doubts, no outs, no backup plan. Last chance on my first try. Can't land, never learn why. No life risk. Got a no-fly list with dope rhymes and then both my kicks. 4-5 minutes, I'm gone. You came too, never miss one flight. Blue take two, better get this right. Cause now, or not at all. Gotta watch that fall when it is hot. But I hit that roll that I dip by. When the shit flies, won't get none on me.
Walked away, but you can't run from those thoughts. From what seems to be what's lost, to be those dreams you gave up on. But it's safe, just one breath of it out now. Rest of it down, down. Next swing around, round. Best get out now. Till top comes off and I rock this bitch. Stop, just pause, get me off this shit. Cause I won't step down when I reach that. Sky too high, too high, too high. Won't give up, but I know.